Our goal is not so much letting people in as sending people out. Out to meet others, to help them come to know and to love God, to live in mission and glory to God in what they do, and lead others over and over until Jesus returns.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
I heard the story of the cross when I was but a child. But then it may just push away for a long, long while. But still one dark and stormy night, the Spirit made his call. And he gave me faith to believe, now I believe it all.
Today's scripture lesson is going to come from the Gospel of Matthew, starting with chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, and then moving to chapter 19, verses 16 through 26. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and Jesus called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible."
Our scripture lessons this morning are used to having me start out preaching with a scripture lesson, and I'm going to change it up on you this morning a little bit, and those will be folded into the course of the morning message. But if you weren't with us last week, we started a cycle of sermons talking about becoming the missional church. And so in case you weren't here last week, I'm going to give you a little teaser of what we did last week. And so I want us to sort of be all on the same page and be remembering where we were. Now let me have you think about something for just a minute, and perhaps this might apply to us at times. People are not afraid of going to church because they will be changed. More likely, they're afraid of going to church and not being changed or transformed. Let me say that again. People are not afraid of going to church because they will be changed, but rather they're more afraid of going to church and not being changed or transformed. That would be a shame if that's what happened in the life of the church, wouldn't it? That we weren't changing and transforming people along the way. We talked last week about the fact that we live in three places. The Imago Dei, which is that God created us for relationship. He created us male and female, and he wants us to live in relationship with him. We also are to be sent out in a mission deo. We'll be sent out and serve when we bear the name of the image of Christ. Wherever we go, we bear the image because we are created by God. We look like a resemblance of God. I think you heard me say last week, you know, God, sometimes we think that God looks like a big tall guy that lives up in the sky and has a beard, but if we're created in God's image, we look like God. And every time we see someone else, we're looking at an image of God. So when we go out, we bear the image of Christ as we go. And we're to share his image and share in the glory because among all people and reflect his word and glory because he wants to be glorified. He wants to be glorified and be honored as we go about our work. And so the church exists for the glory of God. God will not share his glory with anything or anyone else. And the church is the body made in the Imago Dei, in the image of God, sent on a mission, and to be his glory day, if you will. So being the church that lives in relationship with Christ sets off on a mission and does all of that for the glory of God, must then be a community who's willing to love, live, and lead others into that same relationship. That's the next part of the process. We're going to talk about loving God, living his mission, loving people, and leading them to follow. So we want to first look at what it means to love God. And so we look at a scripture from Matthew where Jesus is with the devil and he is causing him to be tested. And so the devil led Jesus up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give you their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him and him only." As we look at that scripture and the scripture that Holly read earlier, we hear a man who wanted to know what it meant to be a part of the kingdom. He asked Jesus, "What must I do to earn eternal life?" And Jesus gives him back the Ten Commandments, but he adds one more to that. "You shall love the neighbor as yourself in order to inherit eternal life." And he said, "Is that all? I've done that." And he said, "Go away and sell your possessions and give away everything you have." And at that point, he was unable to do that. He was not able to give up all that he had and be able to serve God and him only. And Jesus says to the devil, "I'm not going to give you anything. I will only worship God the Father." And so on goes the process. And in that story, we know that Jesus is taken by Satan up into Jerusalem. They've been out in the desert at that point, but he takes him back to Jerusalem for that part of the temptation and puts him up on the top of a tall building and has him look out all over all the holy city and asks him that question, "Will you bow down to all other creatures?" And Jesus says, "No." Well, in our United Methodist tradition, we have three rules. We ask our ordinands when they're ordained if they know these rules. And we're asked as United Methodists, as lay people, to know these rules as well. And that first rule is do good. Second rule is do no harm. And the third rule is stay in love with God. And if we love God and stay in love with him, it will make it easier for us perhaps to do no harm and to stay in love with God and to do good. Because when we're in love with God, that certainly makes everything else a lot more easy, doesn't it? Because that guides everything we do. It keeps us from doing harm. It keeps us from not doing good if we're in that relationship with God where we should be. And so we love God because we not only know God, but we love God. And there's a difference there. We can stand around and talk about knowing God. I know that God exists. I know that God created the heavens and the earth. I know that God was with Moses when he went across the Red Sea and parted the Red Sea. And I know that Jesus lived and he came and died and rose again. And I know that the Spirit lives. We can go on chapter after chapter reciting all the things we know because we've read the Bible. But the question is, do we have a relationship with God? So hopefully it's moved from the knowing part in your life to the heart part, that it lives here. You still can have the knowledge, but it must be a personal relationship with God. And so it goes back to that sermon we talked about a few weeks ago when we talked about being a fan or a follower. I can be a fan and know all about God, and it'd be really easy to know God and say, "Yes, I know God, and I love God, and it's pretty good." But the real push of that is becoming a follower and doing what God asks us to do, to take up our cross and follow him daily and be with him in the difficult times as well as when it's easy, you know, to say it's good. You know, we've been having this debate all week long about whether we're going to stand or kneel. Are we really fans of NFL or are we not now? Are we fans of God? Will we stand up and say, I'm not just a fan of God, but I'm a follower of God? And that's going to be good in good times and bad times. Hopefully it's the follower and not the fan part. So the question is, what are we doing as God has created us to have a relationship with him? What are we doing to develop and grow and mature that relationship? What are we doing to grow that relationship with him? So let's turn to living the mission. I want to turn to a scripture that we looked at, I think, last week for a minute. Jesus came to them at the end of his life. He was at Bethany. And they were on the edge of the mountain, and he told them to meet him there at Galilee. And he says these words to them. He said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me to go to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, somewhere I read this week that that's not a phrase that says it's a suggestion. Oh, you can go if you want to. You can go if you'd like to. You can go if you think it might be all right with you. And it doesn't say that. It just says, go. And it doesn't say go if the circumstances suit your convenience. It says go. Well, I'm too old. I'm crippled. I'm handicapped. I'm this, I'm that. That's not part of it. It says go. We have to figure out in our own way what going means in our situation. The going may look different for each person, but he gives us the authority and equips us for the task that he calls us to. Now, I think it's also interesting that we don't go alone on that mission. Remember that Jesus, in Holly's earlier text, he went by the Sea of Galilee, and first he called Andrew and Simon Peter, and then he called James and John. And I think if we were to look very carefully, we'd see that he calls the remaining groups of those disciples, if not by one, most of the time by two. And you remember that text where he sent them out very specifically. He didn't send them out in groups. He sent them out what? Two by two. He doesn't send us out by ourselves. And even if we go by ourselves, we are in the presence of God. We are in the presence of the Spirit. So we're not alone, even if we do go out on a mission by ourselves that God calls us to individually. Because indeed, Jesus says in this text, not only have I been given the authority, but I give you the authority to take that word, take that message out, and I will be with you. I won't let you go by yourself at any point. So then there's loving people. Oh, and there's those loving people. You know, sometimes they're kind of hard to love, aren't they? There's folks out there that it doesn't matter what we do, in spite of ourselves, they just aren't very lovable. They're hard to love. But God says we have to love them anyway. Remember the Pharisees, those were probably some of Jesus' most difficult people to love, I expect. And the Sadducees as well. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question. Teacher, which commandment in the law is greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment, which comes right out of the book of Deuteronomy, out of the great Shema. And then Jesus adds the second unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Of these commandments, two commandments, hang all the law and all the prophets. So if you don't remember anything else, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor. Now that neighbor may not be somebody that you really are too fond of. You may not be real fond of her. She may have done things to you that you don't like. She may do things that you're not happy with. You know, I'm convinced that neighbors aren't just the people, though, who live on either side of us. Because, you know, we stopped a long time ago being neighbors, didn't we? We don't sit on our front porches anymore. We don't holler back and forth. But our neighbors have to be the people that we work with, the people that we see in the grocery store, the people that we see at Walmart, the people that we see everywhere we go. Those are our neighbors. And those are the people that God puts in front of us and asks us to love. We must love ourselves first as God loves us. And sometimes that's tough because sometimes we don't love ourselves real well. So we have to be able to love our neighbors. We have to love in a not a prideful way, not in a boastful way, but in a humble, contrite way. See them for who they are. See them with their tattoos or without their tattoos. See them with whatever it is that God presents them with. The missional church and its people cannot choose the people that we will love. We can't say, well, we'll take that group over on that corner because they look better. God gives them all to us. We're called to love all of them. Jesus tells the disciples in the upper room that by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. By this, he meant being sent as servants and being willing to be humble enough to get down and wash someone's feet. I'm always amazed when I mention in churches that long about old Lent, Maundy Thursday, I'm thinking about doing a foot washing. It's amazing how many people get really uncomfortable at the thought of foot washing. Just gives them the heebie-jeebies, something awful. But if Jesus can get down and wash the grimy, grungy feet of his disciples, and even wash the one that he knew was going to betray him, he could have walked right past him and said, "Nope, not going to do anything with you. You're out to betray me. I'm done with you. You're out of the picture." But he gets down on his knees and shows Judas the very same love that he shows to the other 11. And that's what Jesus asks us to do when we're out on our mission. The missional church and its people love people without reservation. They love God. They love his mission. They live his mission, and they love God's people. And lastly, we're led to follow, lead them to follow. That's where sometimes it gets tough. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once." Here's what I want you to hear. "Little children, I'm not with you very much longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. But I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so should you love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's not enough for us to just simply love God, live his mission. We have to want to see others in an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, an authentic, growing, developed relationship. We want to see them learn and know God as we do. We don't want them to walk around all their life with just that fan knowledge, that head knowledge. We want them to translate that into a heart knowledge and a heart love for God. We want them to live the mission of God. We want them to become lovers of God's people and then lead others to disciples as well. And with God's help, what happens? That goes on and on. And you take on one, and they take on another, and they take on another, and so on goes the process. And magically, God's disciples begin to multiply. I've said to you multiple times since I've been with you, who is God inviting you into a relationship with? And if you help that person develop an authentic relationship with God, and that person develops an authentic relationship with God, and another person, God's kingdom begins to become multiplied. The church hopefully functions looking outward rather than making new relationships. When we turn inward as a congregation and don't look beyond our walls, and that's not where we're at because we're very much out there, but we have to be mindful always that what we're doing is reaching outside rather than inside, because then we become insulated and we're not connecting to the world beyond us. We must focus beyond ourselves to love people and lead others into authentic discipleship. Our goal is not so much letting people in as sending people out. Out to meet others, to help them come to know and to love God. To live in mission and glory to God in what they do and lead others over and over until Jesus returns. We don't know when that is. But as we do move forward, we'll examine. But as we do this, we're going to see, hopefully, the fruits of our labors. Now, this is a lot of maybe theory in some respects. I've tried not to make it that. But we're going to start with some practical and look at how can we worship? How can we be in obedience? How can we serve? How can we share? How can we embrace? How can we invite? How can we equip? And how can we empower? All of those things help us to become missional Christians as well as a missional church. Are you living into your relationship with God, the Imago Dei? Are you living into the mission, and are we bringing him glory as you seek to serve him day in and day out? Amen. Of God, we're sent out to do His service. So now we pray that we've brought Him glory and honor as we've been here together. And may we now bring Him glory and honor by going out into the world and sharing His image with those that we see, because as we look at them, we see God. May you be in mission and bring joy and glory to God all this day and all week long. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org.
Elect from every nation, yet one more on the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name.
You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.